Well, welcome back to our study of Numbers. We're going to take a look at chapter 14.
Okay.
Are we ready? All right. Chapter 14 documents the response of the Israelites to the spies' report, Joshua and Caleb's exhortation to the people, the Israelites' reaction, God's intervention, Moses' intercession, God's judgment on the rebellious Israelites, and the Israelites' remorse and their attempt to go into the Promised Land.
This chapter is loaded with principle. And if you're talking about a prime example for us of what not to do and learn what to do, it's right here in this chapter.
Great. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night.
Now think about this. Here's the report of 10 men. Now pay any attention to Joshua and Caleb. So when they hear the report of these 10 men, this says the whole nation of these Israelites cried out loud all that night. You don't realize how much influence your words have over people. You can make a statement and just crush someone's heart.
Yeah.
Or you can make a statement and actually lift someone's heart. Your words have power.
Mm-hmm.
But we're too flippant with our words.
Right.
Not thinking before we speak. How is this going to affect in the long run? I did something just innocently, thinking it would be funny. Well, it didn't turn out funny. And it actually had the opposite effect that I was looking for. And it bothered me for some time. And I still think about it. I think I won't do that again. I won't do that again. I'm not going there. And you got to keep control of your thoughts so you keep control of your actions.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Verse 2, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into the land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said to one another, let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt.
Now, think about this. They hear a report, they cry, they're feeling sorry for themselves, you understand? And so they begin to complain about Moses and Aaron's leadership. And that's just a common thing when people don't like things, even though it's their own mistake that they're making. They're not staying focused on God. They're seeing problems. They're not seeing possession. Okay? And the result is, they said, well, they just complained against the leadership. They brought us out here. Well, wait a minute. I thought the cloud led you out there.
Mm.
I thought it was God going before you that led you where you are. See, they're not seeing that. They're just seeing people that they can lash out at. And a lot of times people get mad at God, but they lash out at the representative of God. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
I had a woman one time that tell me she hated me because I had said something to her that actually I just gave her scripture. And she didn't appreciate the scripture. And I said, you don't hate me. Now, you can take it personal, or you can look through that superficial part and see what's going on. No, you don't like what God said. I'm nothing but the pipe that flows through, so I'm not your problem. You follow me? And so here they complain against the leadership, and then they say, we wish we would have died in Egypt or in this desert. You better be cautious what you say, because you can have what you say. Mm-hmm. And they ended up getting what they desired. Why did the Lord bring us to the land to be killed in battle? Well, that's their perspective. See, they're still thinking defeat. Mm-hmm. God didn't take them there. God never said anything about them being killed in battle. God told them to go in and possess the land and drive the enemies out. And they're saying our wives and our children are all going to become property of the enemy. It'd just be better for us to go back to Egypt. So they started talking among themselves. Let's get us a leader. Someone that'll take us back to Egypt. How many church splits have you ever heard of? They don't like what's going on, so they're looking for somebody that'll take them in another direction. Better listen to God.
Let's look and see what Stephen said about this account. Let's go to Acts chapter 7. And in Acts chapter 7, if you look with me at verse 39, Stephen said, look at the last part of that verse, in their hearts turned back again into Egypt. They made that decision in their heart, and out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The psalmist said, if you look in Psalm 95, that we err in our hearts. Rebellion starts in the heart. And so we have to put a guard, don't we? We have to guard our hearts with all diligence. And they were focused on that grasshopper mentality. It's hard to separate chapter 13 and 14. You have to read it all together. And the last part of that, verse 33, we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And all the congregation, once they've heard that report, started crying, and then in their hearts turned back and went to Egypt. Verse 5 of chapter 14 in Numbers. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel.
Now, you think about their reaction. Here, they're being viewed as the problem. The people are complaining about the leadership. And instead of vindicating themselves, well, God sent me here, this type of thing, they prostrate themselves before the whole assembly of Israel who had gathered. They just fall down. You understand? You're talking about humility. And you know, if I thought somebody was wanting to kill me, I don't like I just lay on the ground. That makes you that much more vulnerable, right? But they're not thinking about themselves. You're thinking about the people missing God.
In the wisdom in keeping your mouth closed in a situation, sometimes you don't speak. You just keep your mouth closed. You go before the Lord. Verse 6, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spoke unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not.
Now look at Joshua and Caleb's perspective in contrast to the 10 spies' perspective. Here they say to the people, look, we did a reconnaissance of the land, and we found it to be an exceedingly good land. And if the Lord's pleased with us, he'd take us into this land that flows with milk and honey. Don't rebel against the Lord, and don't fear the inhabitants of the land. We will devour them, because they have no defense against us. Mm. 4:45 said, they have no defense against us. The Lord is with us. So don't fear these people. If the Lord is with you, why are you fearing the people? And you look at the different people in the Bible who feared the people. Saul, for instance, King Saul, he feared the people. He didn't obey God. Listen, if you fear the people, you won't lead the people where God wants them to go. You won't do it if you fear the people. You have to be delivered from the people to where you fear God, and then you'll do what's right by the people, whether they think it's right or not.
Excellent.
They don't have any defense against us. It's amazing how people think they don't have any defense against the devil. He doesn't have defense against you.
Mm-hmm.
He's afraid of you. That doesn't mean he won't form weapons against you. But do they prosper?
Mm-hmm.
Not if you stand your ground and don't get in agreement with them. They won't prosper.
But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel.
Yeah, here, God's there.
Mm.
And so when all the congregation spoke of stoning Moses and Aaron, I like to say it this way, the majestic splendor of the Lord appeared in a cloud at the tabernacle of meeting in the presence of all the people. You're going to kill my representatives? You'll come through me. You understand?
Yeah.
You're not going to go through him.
Mm. That's something. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have shown among them, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of you a greater nation and a mightier than they.
Now look at what the Lord's wanting to do.
Yeah.
He says, how long will these people reject me? I've shown them many signs, but they still won't believe me. And so he told Moses, he said, I'll just smite the Israelites with pestilence, and I'll destroy them. I'll destroy the whole nation and make a greater and mighty nation than them from your descendants. Now, this is a true leader.
Oh, yeah.
Moses intercedes.
And Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it. For thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. For they have heard that you, Lord, art among this people, and that you, Lord, are seen face to face, and that your cloud standeth over them, and that you go before them by daytime in a pillar of a cloud, and in a pillar of fire by night. Now if you shall kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of you will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he swore unto them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness.
Now, is it Moses' response is very interesting to me. It's, instead of saying, well, thank you, I'd like to have some relief, he's saying, wait a minute, let's think this thing out, okay? If you kill them, Then the Egyptians from whom you delivered these people with your great power, you understand, they'll hear about it. And then the inhabitants of Canaan that, where you told us to go, he said, they're going to hear about it also. And they know about the things that you've done, how your cloud stands above these people, and you're seen eye to eye, and you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And if you kill all these people, the nations who have heard, my paraphrasing all this, is of your great fame. They've heard about you. They're going to say, he killed those people in the wilderness because he was not able to take them into the land that he promised to them. So what Moses is saying is, I'm really concerned about your reputation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want there to be a reproach against your name. And so let's rethink this for your name's sake.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting when you think about it.
That, to me, just shows the love that Moses had for the Lord.
It's a true leader. Even when the people are against you, you have that responsibility of leading. That God has not relieved you of the responsibility, although he could have taken a shortcut and say, kill them. No. He told me to take them out of Egypt into the land. No, I'm not willing to give up. I'm not willing to give up. Now think about this. Had Moses said okay, then it wouldn't have been that nation of Israel as it was that ever went into the promised land. It would have been the descendants of Moses. It wouldn't be called Israelites then, would it?
Mm-mm. That's something. Hadn't thought about that.
I know they're still a descendant, but you just think about it. They would have been descendants of Moses. He said, I'll make a mightier nation from your descendants. And so Moses said, go kill them. Your name's at stake here. Go kill them.
Verse 17. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy. And as you have forgiven this people from Egypt even until now.
Think about this. In this Moses' prayer, he said, let your power be great, and do as you have spoken. You said it. This is what he's spoken. The Lord is slow to anger. The Lord is abundant in kindness. The Lord forgives iniquity and rebellion. However, he does not purge the guilty, but punishes them. All right, so let that word be true. You execute the punishment of the fathers on the children into the third and fourth generation. And then Moses asked the Lord to forgive the iniquities of the Israelites and to extend his great kindness to them. Now here's the thing, just as you have previously, you've forgiven them from time to time ever since they left Egypt. They've rebelled, they've complained, they've murmured, and yet every time you've forgiven them. You punished some died by the way, but not the whole nation. So show your kindness again. like you've done in the past.
What I see in this is Moses just exalting the name of the Lord. And I think about how if you've ever had a really close friend that confides in you and they tell you they're going to do something that's not in their best interest or anybody else's, and your response is, no, that's not who you are. That's not your character. Don't do that. That's going to hurt you. That's a person telling someone out of a heart of love. And I see here Moses' love for the Lord. This is who you are. Moses saw the acts, but he knew the ways of the Lord. And he was confident in that heart of the Lord to bring the Lord to remembrance. This is your way, Lord.
Moses stayed focused on the Lord. Even in this, where flesh focuses on itself, poor me.
Yeah.
They don't like me. Moses is not thinking about him. Moses is thinking about the Lord. Lord, don't do anything that hurts your name.
Mm-hmm.
I know these people are rebellious, but you've forgiven them before. Forgive them again. Forgive them again. And I know you're not going to let the guilty go unpunished. Mm-hmm. I'm not asking you to. I'm just asking not to wipe out the nation.
I've got this marked in my Bible, and I have written and read this whole section, intercession. Moses was interceding for the people. That's good. Intercession's important. More important than we realize, I think. Verse 20, and the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened unto my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swore unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it.
The Lord honored Moses' request.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's interceding, and God forgave the Israelites. However, he said, as surely as I live, my majestic splendor is going to fill all the earth. Not one man, now think about this, not one man who saw my glory and wonders I performed in Egypt in the wilderness will ever see the land which I swore to their fathers. He's referring to the military. Okay? These soldiers, this army that refused to go in, they disobeyed me. They treated me with contempt 10 times. None who have mocked me will see the promised land. Now, that doesn't mean that all the Israelites didn't see the promised land. Remember, the census was 20 years and above of that died in the wilderness of the military men, because the census was of the military, not of the nation. And he says, they mocked me. They mocked me. How did they mock him? By not going in and doing what he told them to do. God said, go in. They said, we can't. You're saying that I brought you here to get you killed. You're mocking me. You'll not see the land. You'll never go into it.
What's interesting about that is when you stop, the Lord gives us his perspective on this in his word. But how many times do we justify, I heard, but, and we can have a real good reason for not obeying. And I'm sure if we were able to talk to these men, they'd have a real good reason. Well, you know, these men, they were giants, these fortified cities. We were little bitty like grasshoppers, justifying the disobedience and the rebellion in the heart. But look what the Lord's saying, you're mocking me. Well, that's a different perspective, isn't it?
You know, this thought just came to me as she was saying that. These are the scriptures teach, and be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. But how many people will not literally take hold of that word and yield to the Lord, to where the Lord fills them with the Spirit?
Yeah.
And why is that? It's they're rebelling against the Lord. They're rebelling mm-hmm. against the word of God because of what people will think. And I struggled with this early on and then resisted the Holy Spirit because I thought people would think I'm crazy going off of the deep end. And that's how many people view it today. Don't mess around with that bunch. I mean, those tongues are the devil and all this kind of stuff. And so you get your eyes off God and you don't obey what God said. If God said be filled with the Spirit, do you think he was just saying that to take up space in the Bible? Or do you think he actually meant what he said? Well, Paul said it. Paul was inspired by God.
Mm-hmm.
So God said it. And so if you're resisting that, you're resisting God. It's a rebellion against the Lord. And so where is the people today, church people today, are as guilty of rebellion as the nation of Israel was in Moses' day. Because we don't do what God says to do.
Seriously.
Fear of consequence.
Mm-hmm.
Not understanding that the reward far outweighs any consequence. You understand?
That we fear the people more than we fear God. You fear
the people instead of fearing God.
Yeah. And we've probably all been there, if we're honest with ourselves.
So you're mocking God. You don't even realize you're doing it. When you're going against Him, well, the Holy Spirit's not for everybody. Well, then why would He say be filled? Well, it passed away. Well, God doesn't know He passed away. Jesus said that the Comforter would come and He abides forever. He lives in us. So how do you get it passes away? If the Holy Spirit's God and God's eternal, how's that pass away? God doesn't need His power today. Has He relinquished things? Does He not need to speak a word into people's lives? Does He not need to manifest Himself in people's lives today? Of course He does. We need His manifestation. And we don't even realize how much we need the manifestation. People who need the manifestation reject the manifestation.
Mm.
Amazing.
It is amazing. But we can rest assured there is a consequence.
I guarantee you, there's always a consequence that's detrimental when you don't obey God.
Mm-hmm.
It's to your detriment. And sadly, it has a ripple effect.
Verse 21. Wait, where am I? Help me. 24. Thank you. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and has followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it.
And so the Lord declared that Caleb and his descendants would enter into the promised land and receive their inheritance because he had a different spirit. Well, now, what spirit's that? He had a submissive spirit.
Mm.
His spirit was stayed submitted to the word of God. What did the other people have? They had a rebellious spirit that would not submit to God. And so because Caleb had a spirit that was submitted to God and says, all right, let's do what God said. God said he and his descendants will inherit the land.
Good.
So you see the ripple effect. His positive response affected his descendants. Nobody's just an island. What you do influences other people. It affects other people. You say, well, nobody get hurt but me. No, other people get hurt in the process. Mm-hmm. Or no, other people can get helped in the process.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea.
Now think about this. They're right on the border of the promised land. Right here where God said, go in and take it. They said, no. God told Moses, all right, turn around, go back the other way. Go back to the Red Sea. Take them back to the Red Sea. Because the Amalekites and Canaanites lived in the valley. So they began their journey the next day. You understand? God didn't let them hang around the next day. A cloud's moving.
Wow. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, said the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swore to make you dwell therein, except Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun.
So the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, how long will I tolerate this evil congregation who continually complains against me? You're talking about the long suffering of God.
Yeah.
And I mean, years and years and years. You complain against God, people complain against God. God says, how long am I going to tolerate that? And he says, I've heard the complaints. Tell them that they can have what they said.
Mm-hmm.
Just as sure as I live, God, that's pretty sure, right? I'm going to do for them just what they have spoken. The carcasses of those who complained against me are going to fall in this wilderness. Everyone who was numbered from 20 years old and above will die in the wilderness except for Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. They were the only two men who were numbered that would not enter into the promised land. Now the key here is who were numbered. Who were numbered. That's the army. You go back, it was the army that was numbered, right? And he says not one of them except Joshua and Caleb will go in. They said, would to God we died in the wilderness? All right, you got it. I heard you. I'm going to let you. You better be cautious what you say, because I promise you, you can have what you say to your own detriment. Death and life's in the power of the tongue. That works against you as well as other people. You understand? And so we better think before we speak. And we need to weigh things out instead of focused on circumstances like most people do. We need to focus on God. Focus on the Spirit of God. It's not what the circumstances are saying. What is God saying, or what has God said? If God has said, that's what God meant. See, Balaam could tell you about that. God meant what he said the first time. You don't need to go back and ask him three or four more times. When God says it, he's God. He doesn't change. You follow me? And so we have to become confident enough in the Lord, number one, to know his voice. And number two, when he speaks, they do what he says. Not doubting. He said, the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind, and talk. Let not that man think he will receive anything from the Lord. We've got to be established in the things of God, established in the Word of God, and not rebel against God. We've got to have that Joshua and Caleb mentality. So, you want to die in the wilderness? You can die in the wilderness. I wouldn't recommend it. But you can.
I want to go back to that phrase that you said, what you spoke about, you can have what you say. And the power of our words. We've mentioned this many times in class before. But we need to be mindful of the things that we're saying. And how much power those words have within them to produce. We can have what we say. I'm reminded of a conversation I had with one some years ago. And this person said to me, you said it was a narrow path. I just don't want to go that way. Well, that person can have what that person said. We decide in our hearts. The Lord operates by invitation. He told the Israelites, I have given you this land. Now go in and possess it. The gift had been presented. It was theirs for the taking. This first generation chose not to take it. They spoke against it, and the Lord honored what they said. Yeah, you can have that.
What's God said to you, and what's your response? Think about it. And with that, our time's up, so we'll pick back up with this in our next session. Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed, you enlarge our territory. Your hand's with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You grace us unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So Lord, we invite you to rise up, that your enemies be scattered and those who hate you be before you. Amen.
Amen.
You guys have a great week. Stay warm and drive with caution.